ago. I'm going to turn to Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1. You know, we're going to go back to our team this evening. I'm sharing pulpit with Brother Jeff. I'll just do the first part, and then we'll have Pastor Jeff prophesy. But the Jeff to preach as well. Are you ready for the word? So we give you two meals today. One from Pastor from me, and then another one is from Jeff. Hope he gives a good word. Let's test out his word tonight to see. Anyway, Isaiah 60 will say, "Arise and shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you." Come on, let's read this word together as a church. Okay, verse 1. Come on, is it there? All right, let's go. Arise, 1, 2, 3. Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people, but the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. Verse 3. The Gentile... Wow, you guys... Sounds like you never had lunch. That's fine. Verse 1, you look at verse 1. Arise and shine, for your light has come. This year, the Lord gave us a word. He said, "You will arise in my glory. You will arise in my glory." How many of you know, it doesn't matter, in our life, it doesn't matter who says what. What God says, it matters. Amen. John Maxwell said like this. He said, oftentimes in our life, whatever an important person says in our life, it mattered to us. Every individual, whatever an important person have to say in your life is very powerful over your life. And I believe the most important person in your life is not the neighbor that says next to you. It is not your past. It's not your future. It's not your present. The most important person, or the most important event, the most important person in your life is God himself. Amen. What God have to say over your life is much more important. That's why the word says, "Arise and shine, and shine. The light has come. You will arise in my glory." You see, the word of God is so powerful. What God says. You see, we are a people with destiny. We are a people with purpose. You and I are created with purpose. And there's a person that's standing here. He told me a couple of years ago that I prophesied over him. He said, "Pastor, you said I'll be a leader." But back then, I didn't believe it. Because he said, I thought, "I'm just a normal person. How can I be a leader?" But during Chinese New Year time, that person said, "Pastor, when that thing happened, I believed it because you prophesied. The word of God came and said, I'll be a leader." You see, what God prophesied over you is important. Amen. That's why prophetic anointing is so key. Prophetic word is so powerful. I know the prophetic word is not just something that we hear from just Pastor Rajan. Some prophet comes and he prophesies. Prophetic word is a voice of God. Prophetic all over us. We need a prophetic voice in our life. Amen. All of us, if you don't have a prophetic word over your life, after the service you come in front, I will prophesy over you. All of us, we need a prophetic word. Jesus, at the beginning of his ministry, right, he started with a prophetic word, voice over his life. The prophetic voice over Jesus was Matthew 3:16. He said, "This is my son in whom I am well pleased." A voice from heaven came, heaven opened, a voice from heaven said, "This is my son." And Jesus lived his life from the voice of the Father. The voice of the Father. What God says about him, that's how Jesus lived. You and I, this year, I believe God have something powerful to say about you and I. Amen. How many of you know God is not a liar? He's not a man. He will not lie. Once he says, he will do it, church. Amen. He's a promise-keeping God. You see that the very fact when God created the heaven and the earth, the Bible says God did not imagine earth. He just didn't say imagine. He did just like let there be. No, the Bible says God. Genesis chapter 1 says God said, "Let there be a light," and then the light came. The power of God's voice over your life. God created everything that we see. He created to the power of his voice. You see, a man, it just came to my thought. I thought I would say, one of our back in Bible school, Chris Valentin, he interviewed a man who actually were for 25 years, he was following Satan, actually. And no, he was 25 years, he's a Satan worshiper. And this guy got saved. Recently, last couple of weeks ago, he got saved. And he was telling in an interview, he said, the voice of the devil, he said, the voice of the devil is very void. He said, he was, you know, it's kind of like, you know, he was discipled by devil for 25 years. Can you imagine that? Not us, okay, that guy. Some of you are like, you know what, Pastor, where? You need to get saved then, anyway. You know, 25 years, you know what he said in the interview? Vicky, you know what he said? You don't know, right? This one all you won't know. he said, the voice of the devil, the devil's voice sounds very hollow and didn't have authority on that voice. It's like as if, you know, it's as if very empty. There's no substance to it. Empty. Nothing happens. You know, so when devil speaks to him, he speaks from a place of an emptiness, and there's nothing like a very. But he said, when he began to receive Jesus, he realized the voice of God sounded like many waters. He said. He said the voice of God is like this. He said, you know, when the water falls, how many of you have seen water fall? When the water falls in the rock, you know, there's a sound, right? You know, but at the back of that sound, right, there's this vibration, you know, this authority that comes from that sound. Amen. So you and I have a Father. Just one voice of the Father will release heaven's authority over your life. Come on, somebody say amen. That's why the prophetic voice is so powerful. A prophetic word is so powerful. Another aspect of the prophetic word, and I want to link into the glory of the Lord. Wait, what's your father's name? I forgot, Kevin. Moses. Look like Moses. Thomas. Uncle Thomas, listen. You know, your life is not driven by your bus driving, you know. Even though that's the reality. But your life is driven by the voice of God. What God says about you. The prophetic voice. You know, you see, there's a story in the Bible. For time's sake, I just go through this. 1 Samuel chapter 19. Are you with me, church? Can I teach you something? Can we talk about the word this evening? Is it okay? Those who are at the back? On this side? Those who are sleeping? No, not anymore. I would just cancel that. No more. We shouldn't say that anymore. Anyway, so 1 Samuel chapter 19. Here's the story. See, God gives, oh my goodness, see, God gives a word over David. He said, David, you're going to be a king. Okay? You're going to be a king. And then David, you know, first time, you know, God brought Samuel, and then you know the story that you know David was on the other side of the field, the father showed all the brothers, and then the Lord Samuel said, this is not the guys, there's someone else. You know why why David was on the field? Because David was born not to the real mother. You know, his mother was either a prostitute or second mother. That's why David was always rejected. Okay, that's what Psalms 27, he always had pity party. When my mother and father forsake me, Lord, you will take care of me, God. Okay, that's the issue that, you know, David dealt with. Okay, so his issue of rejection, you know. So, you know, he was always on the side of the road, on the side. So God calls him and anoints him and says, you're going to be the king of Israel. You know what happened? God gives him a word. But then when the word came, but the word and the life didn't look the same. Why? Because the moment the word came, you know, his life became a warrior. You know, it's like, you know, and you know, the long story short, you know, what happens is Saul back then before David, Saul, who disobeyed the Lord, finds out that God has already anointed David as a king. Now, so you know what happened to Saul? Spirit of jealousy comes on him. Okay? Spirit of jealousy comes on him. This demonic power comes on him. He is on a run to kill David. Why? Because he knows his timing is coming to, you know, his time is, you know, he's going to end because God have chosen David. So he'll follow with me. So here David comes to 1 Samuel chapter 19, you know, and Jonathan helps, you know, the story is Jonathan helps David to run away. Jonathan goes to David and says, David, run because my dad is coming after you. And then David runs. You know, David runs. And David runs. I know God led David to, you know, Prophet Samuel's place. The Bible says David ran and looked for Samuel. in the time of trouble, David knew that only way that he can find refuge and is to go back to the man who anointed him, and go back there to the prophet again. Somebody say amen. So he went back to the prophet. He's looking for prophet. Before he even met Samuel, you know, he went and just stayed in the city. All right. And when the prophets are there, something is so powerful. Prophets are a person who brings the voice of God. Now, David is there. Saul sends a messenger. Saul sends somebody and say messenger and say, you know, to kill David. He said, go and find David. I know he's in this place where Samuel is at. Please bring him back. So when the messengers are coming to take David, guess what happens? Because Samuel is there, the anointing of the land, you know, carries a prophetic anointing. So when Saul's messenger comes to take David away, instead of taking David away, the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord comes on them. They start prophesying. And then Saul goes like, okay, plan A gone. Sends more messenger goes, comes under the anointing of the prophetic voice. Again, I want to teach you the prophetic voice is the voice of God. Prophetic anointing is the voice of voice of God, the prophets and the anointing. So he comes under the covering. That which was supposed to destroy David, that was sent to destroy David, God set it up, turn it back. Now these messengers are prophesying good thing about David. That is the power of God's voice over your life. Oh, come on, give the Lord a mighty clap. So God speaks things, prophetic voice. That which is not there is, you know, prophetic is the forthcoming of the Lord. That which is not there, God creates the word. When you get a prophetic word, you might not have it right now, but God creates it in the spirit realm. But, you know, and with line with the prophetic, you know, understanding of this prophetic, this year is the year where God said, arise in my glory. Now, the word glory, you know, this year, what is the word glory? And I want to talk to you, what is the word glory? A lot of time when we talk about glory, Pastor, I don't even know what is glory. They sing, I sing. They lift up their hand, and I lift up my hand. You see, the word glory has so many meanings to it. But you know, it's, you know, as a Bible student, right, has the word, certain word in the Bible, sometimes the scholars find it hard to translate. Certain things you just can't. For example, the word presence, right, is in English word, is word presence, English word. But in the Hebrew, right, the word presence cannot be found. Cannot be found because that has totally meaning. They say this is such a complex. It's beyond our intellectual. You see, beyond our intellectual, we cannot translate that. You know why? You know, God is such a big God. You know, everything about Him is always expanding. He's such a big God. He's the creator of the whole planet and universe and all of that. They're still finding out new stars in the galaxy. He's such a big God. But, you know, the word glory, you know, if you want to simplify the glory, the word glory has two meanings. In the Old Testament, it means kabod. Okay, kabod means the weightiness of God. What is the weightiness of God? It is not God as an oversized. God is not oversized. The word heaviness is simply, you know, reflect God's attributes, the nature of God. So when we say the glory of God is here, you know, the nature of God, we're talking about the nature of God. What is the nature, the attribute of God? He's the King of glory. He's the King. You know, he's omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient. That means he's everywhere. You know, he's internal God. He's the King. He's the beginning and the end. He's a God Almighty. He's the Lion of Judah. He's all of that. All the nature of God, if we sum up in one word, that's what the word glory means. So when we say the glory of God, you will arise in my glory, what God is saying over earth is that you will arise in God's, you know, in the revealing, in the manifestation of who God is in your life. Amen. Who God is. Okay? Do you understand what I'm saying? Who God is. You will arise in that revelation of who God is. All right, and the New Testament gives us this, which is my favorite. Can you guys put that slide? In the New Testament, the word glory, it means doxa. Everybody say doxa. I was thinking to start a brand, a shoe brand named Glory Doxa. You know, why not? It's not there yet. So the word doxa, you know, the word doxa, next slide, it means, you know, the word in the New Testament always means a good opinion concerning one. The word glory is a good opinion concerning one and resulting in praise, honor, and glory. The next slide, please. And also it means, the word glory means grace, magnificent, excellent, preeminence, and dignity. Now, remember this word. Do you remember Romans 3:22, 3:23? You know, the Bible says, for all have sinned and have fallen short from the... So where did man fell from the... from? You know, when sin entered, you know, where did man fall from? From the good opinion of God, from the dignity of God, from the preeminence of God, from the favor of God, from the grace of God. You know, another translation, it says the honor of God, the praise of God. So what happened is sin causes us to not have all these things. But thanks to be our God, Lord Jesus Christ, and for his cross, because of Jesus, God restored back the glory that was lost in the garden for the new covenant believers. Today we can stand in the glory of the Lord. Amen. You can arise in the glory of the Lord. The very nature of God is, you know what? It's being revealed in your life. You know, and go back to the first slide. Don't take those slides off, guys. I'll throw this mic at you. I'm just kidding. Second slide. It's a good opinion of God. When we say you rise in the glory of God, I want to suggest to you, 2025, you will arise in God's good opinion over your life. Amen. It doesn't matter who says what, church. It doesn't matter what opinion comes to you. That's why you cannot, you know, you cannot this year, you cannot partner with condemnation. You know, Romans 8:1 says, you know, therefore there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. What is condemnation? Condemnation is this: because you lie, you are a liar. Because you stole, you are a stealer. Condemnation condemns you. But conviction is this. This is what conviction, the good opinion of God. Conviction says, you are a royalty of God. You are a son of God. You are the righteousness of God. You are way better than what you think you are. Amen. That's what the opinion of God is. I want to suggest to you tonight, I think God has few opinions about you. Amen. I know the below, if you look at Isaiah 60, the verse below, it says, God will crown you with favor. I want to tell you, church, I want to prophesy over you that God will crown your life and your family with this favor. Amen. 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 And the good news is the favor of God is a permanent thing over your life. That's why Psalm 30 verse 5 says, for the anger of God for a moment, but His glory is for lifetime. The favor of God over your life. That you will arise in God's opinion. My question for you tonight, whose voice are you listening to? Whose voice are you listening to? You need to have a voice of the Lord over your life. You need to hunger for God to give you a word. God, what is the word for today? God, what is the word for tomorrow? That's why, you know, you need to be hungry for the prophetic word over your life. Amen. You know, I have a couple of friends that, you know, I always call them and I don't feel, you know, when, you know, the feeling is like this. And I always go back to the band, bro, Wally, just tell me what God is saying. You know, I'm looking for what God is saying. If I don't know what is happening, God, it seems like you're not, it seems silent, but what I do is I look for the voice of God in other person's life. I look for the voice of God in different places. You know, of course you go to the Word of God, but something happens when you hunger for the voice of God over your life. Turn to your neighbor and say, this year you need to be hungry for the Lord. Come on. The prophetic of God over your life. When God speaks to us, I want to debunk some lies that we believe in our life as a Christian person. We always think God is silent. Church, how can God be silent? He has only been silent in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, Romans 5 says, you are called to reign in life. How God can be silent? He's the word of the, he's the living word. He's the word. Can a word not speak? The word as expression, God speaks to you all the time. Pastor, but God's voice, I cannot hear the voice of God. The question is, are you, the question is, it's not whether God's speaking or not. Are you listening? Are you listening what God is saying? Pastor, I don't know what He's saying. Then you need a knock on, no, sorry. You know what? You know, you need to ask the Lord, Lord, what are you saying about this thing? You see, we need the counsel of the Lord over your life. We need the wisdom of God over our life. You see, you need to, He asked God, Lord, 2025, Lord, give me, Lord, hundreds of prophetic words so that I can be a man and woman with a prophetic utterance in my life. Amen. Don't settle for one word. Don't settle for 1995, Pastor. God gave me a word. Sister, God has moved on to 2025. Come on. He's a new God. You see, God is always doing a new thing. He's not an old God like a white beard and promise you and thinking when to do it. No. Today is the day of salvation. Today, it means now is the time of a favorable time of your life. Now is the time we see souls get saved. Now is the time you will see breakthrough of your finance. Amen. Now is the time. God speaks for now. The scripture says He sends His word and heal all their diseases. My question I asked on the devotion, where does God send His word from? ChatGPT, YouTube, TikTok. Where does God send His word from? Huh? From heaven. Which part of heaven? Huh? Oh. On the side road of heaven? Maybe on the in this side. When God sends His word, He sends from the throne room of God, which is the heart of God. So when God speaks over you, it is not taking some borrowed words. The word over your life comes straight from His heart. Amen. He's a good father. He only has a good opinion about you. He only, Pastor, how? Old Testament is always angry. That's why Jesus died for, you took all the wrath of God, all the anger of God, all the anger of God was completed in Jesus. For today you and I can stand in the righteousness of God and say, I am a beloved child of Jesus. I am a beloved, I am love. I'm worthy of love. I'm worthy of blessing. I'm worthy of grace. I'm worthy of promotion. I'm worthy to be used by God. Amen. Because of what Jesus have done. If you don't know what God says about you, look at what Jesus have done on the cross. That is the final word. That is the finality. Ah, Brother Joe. You're like, what, brother? See, if your circumstances doesn't look very convincing, if you're in a place of miry clay, all you need a word from God, a prophetic word from God. You hold on to that word. Say, Lord, you said. You said, God. I tell you, when you have such a fervent, you know, desire and hunger for the word, for the prophetic word over your life, you will live such a radical life for Jesus. Amen. You will live such a radical life for the Lord. When the voice, you become a man or woman of God's voice. You hear, you rise in the glory of God. How do we rise in the glory of the Lord? Here's how you rise. You know that I just said it earlier. You rise in the good opinion of God over your life. When you have a bad opinion of God, you'll always think bad thing about you. The opinion about you and God is very important, church. How do you see God? Church, number one, He's such a good father and He is for you and He's not against you. Amen. He's not against you. The presence of God is, God invites you in His presence. Why? He's for you. He's completely for you. The scripture says nothing can separate you from the love of God. The moment you say, Lord, I love you, Lord, you just close your eyes, say, Lord, come, Lord. His presence come into that place. The glory of the Lord will arise over you to God's good opinion over your life. Amen. Amen. And when we talk about the glory, Glory has to do with two things, just the manifest glory of God. When, you know, when we talk about the glory, right? Sometimes God, you know, the presence of God is like this. You know, God is everywhere. Brother Nelson, God is everywhere when you're writing your newspaper, whatever. God is always there. But sometimes, right, Sister Masha, when we say the glory is here, there's a moment, right, God becomes very real in that moment. It's like, you know, it's suddenly this intensity of God. Suddenly you get, whoa, 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 whoa. Something is different here. Moses had that. Solomon had that. I've had those moments, a very little moment in my personal time in my room, also in the meetings that I've done, healing meetings. And I've heard many stories that the glory, the nature of God, when God, the glory of God is for not for something that we think about, something for you to experience. The glory of God is something you experience. Somebody say amen. Either you experience Him as a healer, as a provider, as a king, as a deliverer, God revealed His glory. How many of you are hungry for God to reveal His glory over your life and over your family? And God wants you. The other aspect, which Jeff is going to come in 10 minutes, we will finish the sermon, okay? The other aspect, you know, we know what His glory is. We know how does this glory thing is. There's something about the heart of glory. How do you develop a heart of glory? All right? God wants us to have that. Amen? Come on, close your eyes, lift up your hand before Jeff comes. Father, I pray for your people tonight. Only God's opinion over your life. In Jesus' name, I cancel every negative word spoken over you, over your family, over your children. Everything, every voices that's not from God, let it be broken in Jesus' name. You are blessed by God. You are favored by the Lord. This year you will see an increase over your life. You are a child of God. And I pray God's opinion, supernatural and prophetic revelation of God's heart will be downloaded for you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen, amen. Church, how many of you think that was so powerful? Come on, can we give glory to Jesus here in this place? So good, so good. You know, talking about the heart of glory, you know, I was just reading about the book, reading the book of Exodus, and just seeing the life of Moses. Because as young as he was, from the minute he was 3 months old, as he was put into that basket and sent into the water, his mom was sending him away. He already experienced throughout his life. He was experiencing and witnessing the glory of the Lord upon his life. And you know, we're going to uncover like what he did in crucial moments, how he stewarded the glory of the Lord upon his life, how God touched him. And Moses is one of the prophets with the most face-to-face encounters with the Lord. And we look at how this glory that he had witnessed, how it changed and transformed his life. You know, I don't remember when was the last time I shared pulpit with Pastor John. I think it was over 14 years ago in Youth Outbreak. You know, I shared together. Such an honor to do together with him, you know. And if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Exodus chapter 3. And we're going to read about, Moses at the burning bush. Exodus chapter 3 verse 1, it says, let's read it together, all right? 1, 2, 3. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock back to the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire. Stop right there. If you're having your Bibles or your notebook, circle flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Verse 3. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So Moses was basically preempting God, like, God, you know, I'm going to turn around and look at the bush. And here's what God did. He said, so when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him in the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Then he said, do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off, for the place where you stand is holy. Moreover, he said, I am the God, your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac and Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Let's go back to a couple of verses back where it says flame of fire. That was one of the first time actually Moses was witnessing the glory of the Lord. All right, because God said, hey, this is holy ground. As you draw closer, take off your sandals. You see, you know, a heart of glory, right? Holiness always comes together with glory. All right, whether you know it or not, it could be a separate entity, but it's always intertwined. Holiness always attracts the glory of the Lord, the manifested presence of the Lord. You see, to have His presence is one thing. Like what Pastor John said, He's omnipresent. That means He's all around us. But what happens when it transcends from the presence of the Lord is when you touch the glory of God, is when the manifestations happen and the glory becomes tangible. You see, when we talk about the presence, many of us like to use this word, you know, I felt the presence of God so strong in that service. I felt Him, you know, I felt the presence of God. But when you see the glory of God, that's when signs, wonders, miracles, healing, deliverance takes place. You guys get what I'm saying? All right, because it's the glory of the Lord. It transcends from the presence of God and it passes all your sensory and it becomes tangible right in front of you. That was what Moses was looking at that moment. The burning bush, as he took out his sandals to draw closer, the flame of fire, if you look at the Hebrew word, it translates to the Shekinah glory of the Lord. And Shekinah glory of the Lord basically means, it exactly means the dwelling glory. The dwelling glory, that means the staying glory. And when the staying of glory stays, you know, I'm not saying this, the definition is it transforms everything it touches or anyone it touches. That's the transforming Shekinah glory of the Lord. And so I pray in the days to come, church, that we will arise in the Shekinah glory of the Lord. That's when people step in here, man, they're going to get transformed. They will get touched and they will get transformed. I'm not saying it. The Bible says it. And any word that proceeds out of the mouth of God shall not return void, but it will accomplish every mission it is set out for. Amen. Amen. That's the glory, Shekinah glory of the Lord. And he looked at the flame of fire. And throughout the whole life, if you look at the book of Exodus, we see how Moses experiences the glory of the Lord. He gets into Egypt and God anoints him and says, hey, Moses, I have chosen you to bring the people of Israel out of Egypt. And he goes, and then we look at... And then we see Moses leading the whole Exodus, you know, the Israelites out of Israel. And then we see that the Egyptians are chasing them. The Egyptians are chasing them. And he comes to the Red Sea. He comes to the Red Sea. And God, what did God say? Moses, lift up your hands. Lifts up the rod. And immediately as he lifts up, the glory manifests itself once again. And the seas begin to part. And you know, it's not only the Israelites who witnessed the glory of the Lord, but the unbelievers who were in the form of Egyptians also saw the glory of the Lord manifesting itself. And when they saw the glory of the Lord, you know, they were still chasing. They were still going after, and the Israelites passed on. And they were just looking at the waters right beside them. It's not a happy feeling like you look at, you know, in our children's church, you know, the whole cartoon. You're like, oh, so nice, the water open like that. No, it's a fearful, reverent moment when they were walking past the waters and they were not consumed by the waters. As they walked past, they came to the camp and suddenly their stomachs begin to growl. They were hungry and the Lord said, manifest His glory again. And the manna of the Lord came down. And Moses was witnessing all of this. And suddenly they didn't know where to go. And the Lord said, I will lead you by a pillar of cloud at day and a pillar of fire at night. And at night, all right, this is what happened. The Israel camp was here and the Egyptian camp was there, and they were divided by the glory of the Lord, which manifests itself through the pillar of fire. And the Egyptians could not pass, but they could witness the pillar of fire. Go back home and read. They could witness. They witnessed the glory of the Lord in there. And do you know what happened at that moment? They said, we should stop because the God of Israel is fighting against us. We are not fighting against the Israelites, but the God of Israel is fighting for them. So you see what happens when the glory of the Lord manifests itself. It transcends the presence. It goes above your sensing of the presence and it manifests itself. So I pray in the days to come, church, that we will see the manifestation we have already witnessed. But the Lord has more for us. The Lord has indwelling glory ready for our church. That as you step in, you're stepping into glory. You know, you're arising in His glory. Come on, amen, church. You know, and we see that Moses, he saw the pillar of cloud. He saw the pillar of fire. He saw the manna from heaven. He saw the Red Sea part. He saw his staff even change to snake. Isn't that the glory of the Lord? The wonder, the sign and wonder of the Lord that the Lord was using him because he was anointed for the glory of the Lord. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, you are anointed for glory. You are anointed for glory. I pray that deeply roots inside of you that you, each and every one of us, church, we are anointed for glory. We are not anointed to warm up the seats of our church every Saturday and Sunday, but we are anointed to experience the tangible, manifested glory of God. Amen. So we see that Moses does everything. And let's look to Exodus chapter 33. Verse 7, we're going to read from verse 7. We're going to see this whole story about the conversation Moses had with the Lord. Right, 33. And look at this, right? Let me just turn to that. All right. And so Moses took his tent and pitched it out outside the camp, far from the camp, from where the Israelites were, and called it the Tabernacle of Meeting. He was serious. He was like, this is my meeting place with the Lord. And it came to pass that everyone who sought the Lord went out to the Tabernacle of Meeting, which was outside the camp. So it was whenever Moses went out into the tabernacle that all the people rose. Each man stood at his tent door and watched Moses until he had gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass when Moses entered the tabernacle, the pillar of cloud descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. So you see that there was a physical, tangible thing going on right in front of the Israelites' eyes. That when Moses, the prophet who was so in touch with the glory of the Lord, entered into the tabernacle of meeting, the pillar of cloud will descend and wait outside at the door, and the Lord will have a conversation with Moses. I pray that all of you, when you go into your room and when you lock the door, I pray spiritually, church, prophetically, that a pillar of cloud will rest and you'll begin to commune and talk together with the Lord. You know, this year, we must walk closer with Him, church. It's not just, Lord, I pray for the food, bless the food. In Jesus' name, I pray, amen. No, it's that deep intimacy walk that you will have together with the Lord. That when you arise in my glory, arise in God's glory, church, you will be arising in your personal encounter and walk with Him. Because glory is physically manifested and you will experience the glory of the Lord in your life, in your relationships, in your family, in your working place. Wherever you go, you carry the glory of the Lord. Amen. Amen, amen, church. And where were we? And it came to pass that, verse 10, and all the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the tabernacle door. All the people rose and worshipped, each man in his tent. So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face. That's what Pastor John was saying. They didn't have a word for presence. It was face to face. Moses is one of the prophet that has the most face to face encounters together with the Lord. So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend, and he will return to camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. All right, and then Moses has a conversation with God, and let's go to verse 14. Quickly. All right, and the Lord said, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." So you see that number one, God has already promised Moses, "My presence shall go with you." Throughout his whole life, he has witnessed the manifested glory of the Lord. And look what he does. Look what he does in verse 18. In verse 18. Let's go to verse 17. Verse 17, all right? Verse 17. So the Lord said to Moses, "I will do this thing that you have spoken for you, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name." And verse 18, There Moses said, and he said, Lord, please show me your glory. Moses had plenty of promises. Moses had plenty of witnessing of the power of the Lord, plenty of witnessing of the physical manifestation of his glory. But at that moment, the hunger in his heart was not for the power, was not for his presence, was not for anything else, but for his glory and for the person of glory, which is God himself. That's the hunger that Moses carried throughout his whole life, I believe. I believe that he was, throughout his whole life, he was waiting for this moment that God will ask, what do you want, Moses? And Moses would say, Lord, please show me your glory. Please show me your glory. You know, Moses had received promises from God in verse 2. He has seen God's power. He had witnessed the guaranteed presence of the Lord in verse 14. But he wanted the person of God. And when he had that person of God, you know, and God said, hey, Moses, you wouldn't be able to handle this. So what I want you to do, go and hide in that rock there, and I will cause my presence, my glory to pass by you. To pass by you. And that when that happened, do you know what happened, church? Do you know that in the next chapter, you know, as Moses came out, his face began to shine brightly because he had come in contact with the glory of the Lord. And when his face shone brightly, the Israelites freaked out a bit. They were like, oh my God, why is he glowing? You know, glow in the dark or whatever. And because of that, he began to wear a veil. He began to wear a veil to cover. And each time when he goes into the tabernacle of meeting, the tent of meeting, he took out the veil. Because the glory, the one who gave him that shining, that glow, was there, literally there. And each time he comes out, he wears the veil. And you see what happens when you come into contact with the glory of the Lord, church. It's not a physical thing that you will begin to shine. Every dead thing that is in your life will begin to come to life as well. That's the glory of the Lord. That's the dwelling Shekinah, the glory that rests, the indwelling glory of the Lord in your life. So I love how Pastor John, you know, talk about doxa, you know, excellence, magnificence. But we talk about like Shekinah, it's like indwelling. The other part of the glory is the indwelling glory of the Lord. So when the glory is upon you, church, your face begin to shine brightly. And the Israelites witnessed that. And so he had to cover it. But in the New Testament, when my Jesus died on the cross, he tore the veil. He tore the veil. There was no more veil. All of us have access to the glory of the Lord right now. It's not like God doesn't say, hey, stay here, you can't see my glory. No, when Jesus died on the cross, he gave full access to you and I to his glory. To his glory. So right now, let's approach, as in Hebrews 4:16. Come boldly before the throne of grace. Come boldly before the throne of grace, church. And I pray that in this, you know, I'm done. I'm just going to close my Bible. I pray that we become more like Moses today. Why am I telling you this? I pray we become more like Moses. That you can witness the power. You can feel his presence, but at the end of the day, you want the person. You want the person. You want you, Lord. I told this a couple of weeks ago that we don't want the hand of God. We want God himself. We want God himself. And so I prophetically declare that this year will be a year that we arise in the glory of the Lord. Arise in the glory of the Lord. You see, the glory of the Lord, like what I said in the beginning, comes with holiness, church. It comes with holiness. And that's why God said, Dila, God said to Moses, take off your shoes, take off your sandals, for this is holy ground. And in the holy ground is where he saw that flame of fire, the bush on fire, but it was not consumed because the glory of the Lord is there. So as all of us, as we draw closer, as we arise in the glory of the Lord, remember that you are anointed for glory. Remember that it's holiness that gives you access to that glory. And the righteousness is not found by you. You did not make your own righteousness. You did not achieve your righteousness. But the righteousness was given to you when our Jesus Christ died on the cross. He gave you full access to walk in the glory of the Lord. Amen, church. So let's come closer to Him. Let's have this heart, the heart for glory, that we will arise, that this year will be a year like never before, a manifestation of the glory of the Lord, that every single service, we will not go back without seeing miracles, without seeing signs and wonders from the Lord, without feeling the tangible presence of the Lord, that every time we walk into church, we will not slumber or sleep, but we will be so alive and arising in the glory of the Lord. Amen. Come on, let's stand to our feet this evening. And He's a good Father. He's a good Father that when you ask, He gives. And that same question that He asked Moses today, right now, right here, it's up to you. And how Moses responded is, Lord, I've seen the power. I've seen Your promises, O God. But please, show me Your glory, God. Show me Your glory. And I believe because of that heart, Moses is one of the prophets in the Bible that had the most face-to-face encounters with the Lord. And I pray we come to that point that we have such a face-to-face encounter with the Lord. Can we just close our eyes today? Let's close our eyes all across this place. And if that's you, this word has been resounding in your heart, Lord, please show me Your glory. Show me, you know, I'm not going to do an altar call today from where you are. I want you to lift your hands high as possible and say, if that's you, I mean, if it's not you, you can keep your hands down. There's no shame in that. But if that's you, there's a conviction of the Lord inside your heart that's saying, Lord, please, would You show me Your glory? I want you to raise your hands high. That's right. I see all your hands. I see all your hands. As you're going to worship the Lord right now in a song, come on, just ask the Lord, Lord, would You show me Your glory? Show me Your face, God.
Let Your glory fall in this room.
That's right, come on.
Let it go forth from here to the nation. Let Your
ask from the Lord. Let Your glory.
Let Your glory fall in this room. Let it go forth from here to the nation. Let Your fragrance rest in this place.
Yes, Lord.
As we gather to sing.
Come on, we sing. Let Your glory. Cry it out.
Let Your glory fall in this room. Let it go forth from here to the nation. Let Your fragrance rest in this place. As we gather to see
let's just worship the Lord tonight. We're just going to end in a few more minutes, but just worship the Lord. Come on.
Unfold Your sovereign plan. Oh. Raise up a chosen generation that will march to the land.
Your glory,
let Your glory fall in this room,
in our lives, Lord.
Let it go forth. from here to the nation.
Eyes closed. There's such a prophetic anointing in this place. It's as if God wants to speak to you unendingly, you know. There's such an anointing. How many of you are standing here? You say, Pastor, I need a word of the Lord. I need a prophetic word in my life. I need, Pastor, I really need. I don't have one. How do you know you don't have one, or you don't have a voice? You're not excited, or there's hopelessness, something like that. You need a word from the Lord. If you are that person, how many of you say, Pastor, I need a word from the Lord? I want you to lift up your right hand to the Lord. Come on. Okay, right hand to the Lord, yes. And those who have raised your hand, I want you to do this. The Lord wants to minister to you. Don't lose this. Don't want you to pass this moment. I want you to just leave your seat and come right in front here, because we want to prophesy and minister to you. Pastor Derek and the pastoral team want to pray for you. If you have said, Pastor, I need a word from the Lord, you know, come in front. Come on. Those who have lift your hand, just come in front right here. The Lord wants to minister to you. Yes, come. Come. Before we end the service, come on. Let me make a call, altar call. Come. Pastor Derek, can you help? Come. AK, come. Jeff. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Just make a line here. Come, let the Lord just minister to you. One word can change your life. Let Him draw you into His glory. Come on, let the Lord draw you into His glory. Come, 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 come. Fall in this room. Come, front, come, come, come.
Let it go forth from here.
I sense such a voice of the Lord. I sense it. A prophetic anointing. A prophetic anointing. You might not know, the Lord might release word for your children. The Lord will release word for your inheritance. Come on. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. What an awesome present, Lord. Thank you. You know, before we pray for the people, I want to pray for you before you leave. Come on, lift your hands to the Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Father, we just thank you for your anointing in this place. God's opinion of our life. The Shekinah glory of the Lord. Let it come over you, over your family, in your house. Let the Shekinah manifest presence of God. Father, one touch of the glory of God will change our life. Lord, as I stretch my hands towards your people, I pray for your blessing over them. I pray for your favor of the Lord to surround them. Protect your people, Lord. Lord, even as they go from this place, I pray for God's grace over them. Let this week be a week of God's glory. Let this week be a week that you will enter into the prophetic voice of the Lord. Let this week be a week that you will experience God's goodness. I pray for healing and health over you. No sickness shall touch you, church. It will not come near you in Jesus' name. And I pray everyone say, Amen. Amen. Amen.